Oh, on the air. Okay. Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Take two.
Take two. This isn't live. It's okay, Beth. We'll fix it in editing. All this will get fixed in post.
All right, good.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio, 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by Beth Halfhager. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
So I get triple duty with you this week.
I know.
This has been fun. I've been spoiled. I like this. We got great stuff lined up for you today. I should mention.
Secretly taking over.
And it's understandable. I think the audience has been waiting. Beth will be tag teaming with Seth a little bit later today, so looking forward to Seth joining us a little bit later. We say good morning to him, of course. Beth and I got some fun stuff to kick off the show with. I wanted to certainly touch on daylight savings time ending on Sunday with you, Beth. We'll get into that. We got a couple of other things, too, involving the clocks changing and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some other fun stuff. In this hour, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar, 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Mm-hmm. And we'll make somebody a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. We have a classic TV theme song we're going to play. You get the answer. You call up at 424-2600.
Mm-hmm.
Get it right, and you win two concrete mixers, two value baskets from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
And I can attest the phone lines do work at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. She's right about that. Thankfully. Looking forward to taking your phone calls with that and making somebody a new star of the day for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, a little bit after that, 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day, then I write stories. Going to take some time to focus on some local stuff, too, going on this weekend.
Great.
Looking forward to getting into all that. Beth, how are you doing this morning?
I'm tired.
Yeah.
It's dark.
It really doesn't help things, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I was talking about it the other day. Yeah,
I miss getting up when the sun is rising, although it's still nice to be able to watch the sunrise.
Yeah. And I, selfishly, I can't complain because I get to see the sunrise no matter what.
You do.
But it is a little bit nicer when you wake up and it's already kind of waiting for you almost.
Yeah.
There's something about that. It's interesting because Seth and I, as much as our brains are alike, our pasts, our childhoods are not at all alike.
No, they're not.
But we actually found something that we had in common with our childhoods with this. When I first moved out here and was living in Nakusa and going to Humpke, I was living in Rome going to Humpke Elementary in Nakusa. I was one of the first and one of the last kids dropped off. And so it was always dark when they picked me up.
Yep.
Always dark when they dropped me off. And it was so like just... I remember it being like the first thing was schooling, outside of being like a little confused by something or whatever, that was like, oh, like, I don't like this. Like,
right.
I never minded school too much, other than us moving around and not knowing what was going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked school in that way because it was my chance to meet friends. It was starting my chance to meet. I didn't like that part. Didn't like that at all. I honestly felt like there was something wrong. Like I was doing something wrong almost.
Yeah.
Just one of those weird things. But Seth went through the same similar thing where he was in Minnesota growing up.
And our oldest started school that way out in North Dakota. In kindergarten, he used to fall asleep on the bus on the way home.
Mm.
The bus driver used to have to go wake him up.
It's rough. That's rough. But I did want to mention as well that we got some great other things going on. Kind of a breaking story here, Beth. I'm immortal.
What?
I'm immortal. It turns out I am immortal. I had no idea. I just found out this morning. I don't even know what to do with the information, Beth.
Uh-oh.
I'm not even sure how I'm going to spin this into my acting career, how I can make millions of dollars off it.
So
I haven't figured it out yet.
You just started becoming immortal?
I'm not sure.
Or are you remembering thousands of years in the past?
Cards on the table. I've had a pretty wild upbringing and put my body through quite a bit.
It is true.
I've mentioned the fighting before and other things. So it actually would, par for the course, that it turned out that I was, because I don't know how else I survived everything I have been through. But it actually comes to us from a new study on swearing found it's extremely helpful in lots of different ways.
Okay.
For example, if you couldn't swear, even more of us would be stepping out of our cars and getting into fights in the middle of the street and these kind of things. And also, researchers found that the most common reason we swear is to release anger or frustration.
Yep.
That includes using it, quote, to cope with feelings of anger in stressful road situations, among other things.
So it's talking specifically about road rage.
The combination of these things, this part of it is focusing on road rage, but as it continues on and stuff, there's other things that it brings up. And one of the main things that every study they do, it tells us that swearing does, And within reason, mm-hmm. of course. You don't want to be doing this every 5 mm-hmm. seconds or whatever.
Or just to do it.
Because, well, if you do it just to do it, or if you do it just for that for circumstance like that or anything, mm-hmm. it's not actually doing what its job is.
Right.
We're talking about that those swear words that just, you know, it's mm-hmm. it just comes to you. Mm-hmm. It's in the heat of the moment.
It's the pressure valve.
Going back to what John Wayne would say, you get your foot caught in a bear trap and you don't go, oh, gosh dang it.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
there's another couple of words that usually come up.
Yep.
So that kind of swearing. Well, that actually is a release. And they have found that people mm-hmm. that swear in a healthy way actually mm-hmm. live longer.
Oh, good.
Being Italian and growing up in the family I did, and is swearing as much as I have, I'm immortal. I don't think I ever...
Because you're only using it in these circumstances?
Pretty much.
Okay.
It's a good catch. Yeah, we should probably go back to the study.
I may be immortal. Because that's what happens with me.
Yeah, yeah. That's
to
cool.
To the point
that's
where when I do use those kind of words, my husband laughs at me.
Yeah,
I'm in the heat of the moment. I dropped the F-bomb because, yes, I am human, and sometimes
right,
that comes out
right.
of my mouth, too. And he looks at me and he laughs.
I can relate to that a little bit. We're backstage for chapter two, and we're doing all these
You're
different...
You're not supposed to be telling on
oh,
me.
Oh, no. It's just between us, Beth. It's us and maybe one, okay. or, you know, one or two
right,
people
yeah.
out there, just the thousands of listeners we have. It's we're sitting back there, and it was a stressful moment.
Yeah.
And we got some news that we weren't expecting, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the first reaction is Beth with the dropping of a swear word, and it made me laugh, even if it wasn't a moment where we should be laughing. But I couldn't help it because I haven't heard you swear that much.
Oh yeah,
so.
You don't expect your pastors to go around,
right?
And I don't. I mean, that's why for me that this is relevant.
Yes.
In those moments where it's really heated, that's when it comes out. But I was raised by a pastor and a pastor's wife who became a pastor. And that was not, that was frowned upon in our house. You don't use that. So my mom figured that out when my oldest sister was playing with pots and pans and hit herself and went, shh.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and that word came out. So she stopped until we were all in like middle school, high school. Mm. And then she's the type of person, she used it grammatically correct.
That's hilarious.
and we looked at her and laughed because not what you expect. But in her anger, she was releasing that frustration so that it wouldn't turn into violence or do anything else, which is what this study is saying we should do.
I joke about my family swearing a lot and everything, and both my parents do, but we did have a rule growing up, an unsaid rule. There's certain words my mom really nailed, not worse than nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
There is there's the C word, and that's mm-hmm. never been uttered.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually never said that. It's one word because it bothers my mother.
Right,
I've never.
Right.
But the F word, as you mentioned before, mm-hmm. is one we just didn't say around her.
Mm-hmm.
out of respect. It was out of respect. It was out
we
of.
I said it, just not around her.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I've said them all. Every swear word you can think of. I've got ones that nobody.
Somehow that does not surprise me, James.
If there's a benefit of being bilingual, it's knowing swear words in other languages. You know.
Isn't that the first thing we learn in other languages?
Oh, yeah. My Nana was the worst about it, too. I 8 years old and stuff. And like, Jimmy, come here. Don't tell your mom and dad. Don't tell me. She's the matriarch. She's the one that, you know.
And she probably taught you in Yiddish.
No, she taught me in Italian.
Oh, okay.
My mom, actually, my grandmother, I learned some swear words in Yiddish.
Okay.
Which, again, great, great stuff. But it's all within context,
yes.
so much of this stuff. So we have here 4 more benefits of swearing,
okay.
according to this study. It helps us express joy. If you hit the Powerball and everyone in your neighborhood hears you yell something, that kind of thing. It is used in those kind of moments as well. It helps us deal with pain. Emotional and physical.
Mm-hmm.
The same researchers that did another study a few years ago that proved it. People were able to keep their hand submerged in ice water a lot longer when they were allowed to cuss.
Ah.
We actually did this story. I want to say Terry and I did that story. And that was quite interesting to me, I thought.
Well, yeah, because you're distracting yourself doing something else, so you don't pay as much attention to that hand in the ice.
Yes. It helps us connect with each other. One example is humor. I think that's the best example.
Mm-hmm.
They found swearing can be useful when you're trying to make someone laugh, and it also helps with feelings of solidarity, like telling a friend, you're this right.
Mm-hmm.
You're so mm-hmm. right. You're, you know, that kind
of thing.
That's
why stand-up seems to be so filled with a lot of that.
Yes. It is making a connection with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It is... The best comedians that I know that I've seen and that I know just behind the scenes and things like that, including best comedic writers, are all adaptable to their audience. Well, they don't just go, these are my jokes, laugh at them or not, this is what I'm going to do. They adapt to the crowd they're in, to the city they're in, the you know, the season that they're in, all that stuff. And I agree with you on that.
Well, and it's one of those things, it goes beyond social status. You know, from the base to the most expensive, richest person in the world, we all know these words. And we share the meaning and have that in common. So it's one way of communication beyond any kind of border.
I only bring this up because I know in talking, you and I, you've told me that this is important to you, that your parishioners are, you're eye to eye. They're not looking up. They're eye to eye with you and everything, that you guys are all on the same page and that kind of thing. It seems like this would be one subtle way, and not to say that you swear around them or anything like that, but things like this, things under the umbrella of this. Maybe even just being like, you know, complaining about something that they complain about too, or something like that, that this helps do that, helps bridge that gap more.
Yeah, using actual swear words does not go over
I can only imagine.
I will tell you that.
Can't imagine.
But finding common images that we can all understand help to communicate things in a wonderful way beyond educational rank.
And it can make you more convincing. They looked at a previous study that found people who swear in text messages are seen as more persuasive and more believable. They also found swearing isn't considered as vulgar as it once was, and it used to be seen as a sign you were uneducated or had poor vocabulary, but that's not true really either anymore. That said, they do admit you still have to be careful about who you swear around and what the context of the situation is. There are still lots of times when it's seen as offensive or inappropriate. And I use this with the word love all the time. If you use it every 5 seconds, it's going to lose its meaning. Words have meaning. Words have weight to them. They are just words, and they only mean what we put to them or how we let them affect us.
Right.
But with so many of the things going on nowadays and everything, I think it's all the more important to take a moment and really choose our battles wisely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain words that I, being who I am, being the way, you know, the creed that I am and all these things, that I do get bent out. I wouldn't say bent out of shape about anymore because, honestly, I've been hearing it my whole life, so I'm a little burnt out. But I am still I would say bothered, maybe rustled by some of these words. But I don't let them win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't let them get that over me. I don't. I got called something in an email the other day, and they were looking for a response. They wanted me to message back. They wanted me to feed their fuel their fire. I'm gonna let it burn out. Let them burn themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm not adding to that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got people that I'm actually helping, people that I'm trying to get through these situations.
Right.
Whether it's African American friends of mine, Asian, Jewish, whatever. Mm-hmm. There are some rough sleddings out there for a lot of us that fall under that umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to choose my battles.
Yep.
And to me, I got too much. There's too much at stake, and there's too many important things going on to just get bent out of shape about every single thing.
Right.
But that's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There are certainly people that, like, I would say that there are a number of people that are a little older that do still, have these thoughts, have these feelings about swearing and stuff.
Right.
So I'll be darned if I'm going to swear around them.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of,
I caught that.
It also is one of those things, too, that a case-by-case basis. I know plenty of people who are up there in age who swear like the Dickens and all this.
Well, different words were considered swear words for different generations. So,
very true.
You know, it's still the whole battle of whether or not to say hell.
Even in
church. I'm like, it's in the Bible. So
right.
It's not taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, hell yeah, say it if you need to.
Mm-hmm. It seems like one of the more safer ones, and also one of the ones that Bart Simpson couldn't wait to use 5 seconds when he found out he could. I also think it's interesting about the texting. I had never thought of this before.
Oh, yeah.
I barely swear in text.
I don't.
Swearing is so heat of the moment for me that in a text, I'm thinking what I'm going to write. I don't text in the heat of the moment. I text what I'm thinking. And
it's subtle because it's often in the acronyms.
LMOF. Oh, yeah.
You are swearing
nice,
in that,
nice. I
but
didn't
you
think
don't
of that.
Realize that you're swearing in that. It's just a part of, it's the acronym. It's like, oh, yeah, that's so funny. I'm LMOF.
Yeah,
and we're not realizing what what that's actually saying.
Huh. I had to look this up really quick because I don't know when I turned into a 110-year-old person, but I just said, like the Dickens.
You did.
I don't believe I've ever said that in my life. And I don't know where it came. The only reason it's what our brains do when we try to substitute words. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sure I don't swear. So I'm using like verbiage or, you know, idioms that, you know, will get it across to the audience. But I didn't realize I was doing it. And believe it or not, this phrase, like the Dickens, actually has nothing to do with Charles Dickens.
Of course not.
The famous English writer, of course. Dickens is a substitute for the word devil. Some people try to avoid saying the word devil for religious reasons.
Okay.
I didn't even realize I was doing that.
There you go.
I'd never heard that
before. See, it paid to wake up this morning. You learned something new.
That's right. That's right. We will be talking a little daylight savings time a little bit later. For right now, we're going to get into our National Day of Calendar after this commercial break. It is Beth and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. The morning's on WFHR, locally grown radio. Beth and James here with you at 7:21 on this November 4th, 2022. Time to look at our National Day of Calendar. I did want to mention Walk Your Dog Week is still going on until Friday, October 7th. So keep that in mind and get your furry friends out there. World Animal Day today, Beth.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's certainly the day is brought about mainly to bring awareness to a lot of our endangered species.
Right.
And certainly the animal rights, really, when it comes to it. And I think that as a society, we're getting much better about the understanding of what that is, you know, that comes within reason, I think. But it also, there is a reason for it.
Well, it's a chance for us to also think about the things that we do that might affect the animals in the world around us. You know, things that we used to do, like release balloons. We forget that balloon has to go someplace.
Right.
And that could endanger an animal in some way, shape, or form.
And a bear sighting in Rapids.
I know, several.
Yeah, yeah.
Several sightings.
Right. Now, we've got the rafters, the River Kings. We got all kinds of great things to do in this town. It's a fun town to be in. These bears are not coming because they love hockey. There isn't enough food where they are. They're going to hunt it down. Mm-hmm. They're going to find the food. It's no different than a squirrels and all these different things. And in fact, you know what? We're going to go completely inaudible here, Beth.
Okay.
Because I had something happen last night that I've been looking for an excuse to talk about. And I'm going to do it right now.
Doors open.
I'm at a friend's house yesterday, and I've been there a couple of times. And in the basement area, she's had a bat come in.
Okay.
And I had this happen actually at my parents' house like almost 15, 20 years ago when I was staying in the basement. Bat shows up and I have no idea what to do. So I grabbed a fishing net. My parents had just moved in there. So they got all their stuff, you know, all thrown around. I find a fishing net, just a big one of those big old honkers, and with a towel, and I get around it and I just rush up the stairs and get it outside real quick, not really knowing at all what I'm doing.
Right.
I was just in the heat of the moment doing what I could. And it's a bat. I wasn't sure what to do. I've done a whole lot of homework since then, and there is not a bat in history that wants to hurt you.
No.
They have no interest in playing in your hair or any of these things. They're scared.
Yeah.
They're not where they're supposed to be. Their senses are clouded because they're indoors, and they're not used to indoors for obvious reasons.
Right.
So I've had a little experience with this, but yesterday this bat comes back, but it's upstairs.
Okay.
And I get a broom because I can't, I tried to catch it, I couldn't catch it.
Right.
So I've got a broom and I'm trying to keep it in this living room area and hopefully go out the front door.
Right.
And it wasn't working, About 5-6 minutes later, finally like takes a purchase on a painting. And I see it, and as it does, it comes flying, not really at me, but kind of in my direction. I get my hockey stick up, essentially, hit the puck, and it goes right out. Like, it just started flying, and I've never seen an animal happier. Like, even though I couldn't see this bat's face, the speed that it shot out that front door to get outside is like nothing I have seen an animal do before. It was incredibly impressive. It also one of the more impressive feats of my life, arguably.
Good for you,
Of doing all this, and you know, no video, no nothing.
Of course not.
No, none of that.
Well, I'm impressed that you wanted to save the life, because so many of us, when we would see a bat, our first instinct is to kill it. not realizing the benefits that bat is going to have. And you're right. The bat doesn't know that it's not where it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I don't ever want to come across like putting my morals on somebody else or anything like that. I've done a little, like I said, did a little homework. Mm-hmm. I know these guys aren't trying to hurt me.
Right.
So why would I try to hurt it?
And
it's just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah, yeah.
Let them live.
That's probably really just as important, if anything else, Beth. I mean, there's a food chain for a reason.
Exactly.
There's, you know, if you like mosquitoes, then sure, maybe you don't want bats around, but they do eat a lot of the things we don't like. And in those moments when, because this is going to happen. This is going to keep happening. How many times have we seen videos of a deer jumping into a business or something that's closed or something like that, or walking in when the because the door is opening, the electronic doors or something, and it just walks in. We've seen a billion of these videos, especially here in the Midwest. These animals are not just curious or bored or want to see what the newest trends are or something. They're hungry.
Yeah.
And the animal kingdom, like nature, is always going to win, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no defeating these things. And it's not a bad thing. We should be working with it.
Right.
Not against it or killing it off, for God's sake. World Animal Day is a good day to look at all those things.
Yeah.
Ship in a Bottle Day.
Oh.
I said ship. Everyone.
Way to enunciate, James.
I jumped into that way too quick. I got lucky there, everybody.
Call back. He's not trying to really release any aggression.
My Uncle Ralph used to do this, making ships in bottles. It is so cool to see it done. I sat there and watched him finishing it once. I don't know if this is magic, so I don't want to be spoiling anything, but they do put quite a bit of it together in the bottle, of course. But as far as like when you pull the sails up and everything, I don't know, as a little kid, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, he got it all done and he's looking at me, and he's done this a billion times. But for me, it was the first time I've ever seen it. And he goes, "No, this is what makes it all worth it, Jimmy." Or James, this is what makes it all worth it, because he was the only one that called me James.
Okay.
And he pulls it slowly. And as he's doing it, he's just looking at me the whole time. And it was so cool. It was so cool. But I have such a respect for people that can do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I'll ever have the patience to be able to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing there are YouTube videos or maybe even TikToks on that, so that we could all go watch a video of it. Because if you haven't seen it, and I've only seen it on commercials or in movies and that kind of thing, it is amazing. And you have to have very steady hands to be able to get that all put together in there.
And I think that's the part that I admire the most, the craftsmanship.
Yeah.
That we still have in our day and age, but we don't have as much of that and as much opportunity to use that.
Mm-hmm.
Things like this kind of do that.
Yeah.
Sailors originally made these ships to pass the time as long voyages, and today many people around the world still practice the skilled art.
Wow.
Bottle Day is held on the birthday of Jack Hinckley, the founder of Ship in a Bottle Association of America.
Okay.
They got that club. He's the one that got that club
Very
started.
Very nice.
National Fruit at Work Day.
Oh, I forgot to bring you the apple.
Ah,
sorry.
That's all right. That's
My
all
bad.
Right. As much food and sweets as you have brought, you're good. You're good. Have some fruit while you're at your lunch, or just a lot of us snack at work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a snacker. I'm a big snacker.
Right.
So this is where I've been trying to get more like granola in my diet, or apples, or bananas, or carrots.
Fruit is a wonderful snack.
Yeah.
Strawberries, blueberries, and especially like blueberries, you just pop one or two. It's like popping candy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot healthier for you.
Improve your office day.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that. That's a good one. Never a bad idea to tinker with maybe some things.
Yeah.
Or just
rearrange it, kind of get a feng shui thing going.
I find that when I'm cleaning, oftentimes is when that stuff happens, as I move stuff off the desk, and then before I'm going to put it back, I'm like, oh, this would be more efficient, or something like that. National Vodka Day.
Yeah.
Kind of self-explanatory.
Yum.
Yeah. National Taco Day.
Yay! But it's not Tuesday.
It's not Tuesday. No, you know what, Beth?
This is October.
Oh, it flipped on me. I had this all set up. I knew this seemed familiar. I know it seemed familiar. I thought I was going crazy. No. Cards on the table here. I genuinely thought I was going insane there, everybody. I've been very honest about the brain, my brain and my memory and having the foggy brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been good in the mornings. It's at night that it's been really bad. I was sitting here this whole time, this whole conversation, thinking,
and the dates
are
up there, and I didn't look at the date. I didn't connect till just now. Oh, yeah, that says October.
Well, in your defense, Beth, you'd like to think that I could get that part right. I don't. It's not like it's part of my job. It's not like I start every day that way.
Yeah, that's all it was. I just, you know, was enjoying the conversation.
Well, you know what? We can we'll take this out in editing.
Okay, sounds good.
And we'll just make it. And that way, nobody will ever know we even did this. It'll just be between us.
I know a guy.
You know a guy? You know. Luckily, there's only a couple of things for today, so we can kind of go through some of these. I apologize, everybody. I don't know how that happened. Use your common sense day.
Yes.
Man, is that good.
But I found during the pandemic, common sense is not so common.
Nope. Let's take, for example, USPS service letters that indicates that you can't speak if you can't speak English or fail to understand the letter or to take it to a local post office. How precisely would they know how to do that? Like these kind of things. I think there is so much to laugh at in life.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we laugh at ourselves, the more not only do we get the joke, but the more empathetic we become to others.
Absolutely.
I can't respect somebody who can't laugh at themselves. And when I think of common sense, it's oftentimes something that doesn't occur to us in the moment, or we feel a little silly because we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And common sense, it isn't as common as we might like it to be.
Right.
Is one of those, I think, things that can bring us closer together.
It can.
Whether it's through folly or through connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I like that. National, let's see here, if you're going to work with me, computer. Yeah, you see why it's been it ain't just me. Fountain Pen Day.
Ooh.
It's a good one.
We don't see many fountain pens anymore, do we?
No.
It's all ballpoint and gel and all that stuff.
It's also Love Your Lawyer Day, or as my mother would say, Love Your Attorney Day. You don't say lawyer. In most justice families, as my grandfather would call it, families that have attorneys in them or something like that, or judges or whatever, you say attorney, you don't say lawyer.
Right.
So if you really want to show how much you love your lawyer, say you love your attorney day.
There you go.
That's a good one, though. It's one of those things where we like to rip on that that profession. Mm-hmm. We make fun of it and oftentimes and things.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, are we thankful that we have that when when we need it.
Exactly.
So it's a good day to kind of like. Plus, I will say this: the greatest attorney jokes I've ever heard from attorneys.
Of course,
always.
Absolutely.
And it's National Candy Day.
Yay!
Get a sugar rush.
Raid your kids' stash from.
Yep.
Last from Monday.
Why do you think we invented school, everybody? We got to get them out of the house. Get them out of the house. The candy is left untouched, unguarded.
Just make sure they're not the type of kid that counts their candy.
Yeah.
So they know exactly how many pieces they have.
I thought my sister and brother were the only ones that did that, but they did. That's how they counted my dad one day. I never thought of that. I'll be honest. I didn't think of that one. But
smart. That's smart.
Yes. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and talk a little bit about daylight savings time and some other things here on Mornings at WFHR. Mm-hmm. Love this beat. Welcome back, everybody.
I want to know where the Thanksgiving music is.
Yeah, we're working on it.
We have Halloween. Come on.
We have to make it. There's just not enough of it.
So I'll get on that.
Poor Seth is trying to create Thanksgiving music right now. He's driving himself crazy. What goes with gobble? Welcome back, everybody. Beth and James here with you. 7:39 on the clock. And that time is going to change, of course, because as we know, daylight savings time is right around the corner. Don't forget, daylight saving times and saving time ends this Sunday at 2 a.m. And do your best to really savor that extra hours of sleep you're gaining.
Yeah.
There's a chance it could be the last time we ever ever fall back. In our lifetimes, Beth, this has been a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But from when we were kids to now, I don't think a lot of us really, I don't know. I don't know many people, I should say, that thought that this was ever going to happen. But I will say, I know it's probably 50-50 of people that I heard in my life say this will never change to people that it's only a matter of time.
Right.
And really, that phrase has never been more apropos or anything. In March, the Senate passed the Sunshine Protection Act that would make daylight saving time permanent. So the next time we spring forward, we might never shift back. but it's far from a sure thing. And obviously, I mean, it involves politicians. So, mm-hmm. you know, if anybody really loves daylight savings time, and you want to put some money in their pocket to make it happen. I mean, we know that that's how politics work now. At least that's how a lot of it seems to work.
Right.
I'm being sarcastic. Hopefully you guys are picking up on that. You know, we got an election coming up in less than a week. Put people in office that aren't in people's pockets.
Mm-hmm.
The House of Representatives still hasn't voted on the bill until it passed in the House. Nothing happens, and we keep shifting the clocks twice a year. And the people wonder why we're so frustrated with politics.
Right.
A report in July said it hit a brick wall in the House based on, quote, fundamental disagreements over its language. Of course. It isn't actually.
Words.
They want to pass the bill. What that mean? If you read between the lines mm-hmm. on that, okay, I'll pass your bill, but I want my thing in there.
Right.
And if you don't do my thing, I'm not going to do your thing, which right. is really a big part of politics.
It happens all the time.
I wouldn't have a problem with that if you weren't dealing with people's lives.
Right.
Like, that's okay in trade. Like, mm-hmm. if you're trading, fruits or any of these things, you're in a farmer's market and you want to barter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot different to me than something like this right. when you're involving people's lives.
I'm still trying to figure out why they want to keep daylight savings time. Why can't we just stop now? Like this be the last time we set our clocks and they're back and then we're in normal English ordinary time.
I don't believe a single one of them want to that are pushing against this.
Mm-hmm.
They just want what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure to get what they want. Now, if you're in that constituency, you want them fighting for what you want. But
right.
they're not doing that. They're mm-hmm. not fighting for you.
No.
They're fighting for who is in their pocket
right.
and who's pulling the strings. We might as well just hire CEOs and stuff to be running these things and cut out the middleman here and
yeah.
everything. Then at least we know for darn sure, okay, well, that guy is definitely caring about that because the CEO of the company.
Right.
You know, at least they'd be more out in the open and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'd actually have a lot more respect for it if they just own their own stuff. Just call,
yeah.
you know, be honest about it and everything. Hey, I'm supporting this because this company gave me a heck of a lot of money. at least be honest about it.
Right.
Now, it's not like we don't know nowadays. It takes one search on your search engine to find who's in whose pocket.
Right.
I do it all the time. It's not
mm-hmm.
hard to do.
No.
A report in July with this brick wall thing got things rolling with the national conversation. Even if the House does pass the bill, the president has to sign it off.
Right.
It's still not clear if President Biden would do that or not. He has never, I don't believe he has said one way or the other. What we do know for sure is we'll be springing forward on March 12th next year. The question is whether or not we'll be falling back again next November.
So how are calendar companies supposed to do this?
All the calendar people are losing their minds.
They are. They're like, I can't publish anything. Do I not put it on? Do I put it on? Do I not put it on?
How many of us have ever wanted to be able to shout that?
Stop the presses.
Stop the presses. Hold the presses. I'd love to be able to. It does seem like fun to
yep.
do. I don't know. I want to say this. I think that like Beth is saying, I'm in the majority on this one when it comes to doing it. But I also, as much homework as I've done on this kind of subject, I haven't talked to like enough people in the ag industry.
Right.
I want to understand if this is how this is going to affect them more.
Well,
and I'm not saying from politicians or other people outside of the industry telling me. I want to hear from actual farmers.
Right.
I want to talk to farmers. I want to talk to people, cranberry growers. I want to talk to them and know, how is this going to affect you? Is it going to affect profit? Is it going to affect this, and this? We're already doing it.
Right.
So we're kind of, it's a little bit like the measurement systems,
mm-hmm.
you know? We're one of like two other countries that do this the way we do it.
Yep.
But imagine trying to flip the script on that now, trying to go to the metric system or something like that.
They don't even teach that in schools anymore.
Right, and it'd be dang near impossible.
Yeah.
Just take one thing in our society, cars.
Mm-hmm.
Every vehicle that's on the road would have to go in and be changed. All the
mm-hmm.
speed signs. That's just that, let alone every single other thing that we've got to deal with. Let's be honest, that probably is never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if something like this is actually going to happen, or if it's just another kicking the can down the road kind of thing, and creating divisiveness. Another thing to create divisiveness between us.
And farming equipment has come so far that you really don't need to have the extra sunlight because they can put out lights. They have headlights on their machine, you know, tractors and things like that now. So they don't really need to have us set our clocks ahead an hour. So why was it decided to go ahead and stop once we set our clocks ahead, mm-hmm. and go and then keep this daylight savings time, which there are a whole bunch of cultures that don't even do that, and not set it back to what's considered ordinary time. You know, why can't we make this in November the last time that we set our clocks?
Yeah, yeah, it's an interesting conversation. This another thing occurred to me here, because this is piecing together a number of articles, USA Today, AccuWeather, and Sleep Foundation. And that makes me think of sleep, and I wouldn't normally think of that because I'm me,
right?
And I don't appreciate sleep nearly enough as I should. Well, I do appreciate it; I just don't do it enough,
right?
But how this would affect our sleep patterns, I think, is something that's noteworthy that I would like to look into more and stuff.
It's a struggle every March, mm-hmm. you know, every spring when we have to set that clock ahead and we lose that hour, it throws off our biological systems. It's easier to get the hour than lose the hour.
It's going to be fascinating to me to see how this goes, and if this becomes, like, if we actually get to the point where, because the only reason I think that it has become more of a conversation is because we understand politics, and we know that this mm-hmm. is just getting kicked back and forth mm-hmm. between the parties and or different politicians on different sides, because this is something that's supported and unsupported by multiple, right. you know, Democrat, Republicans, and all right. that. So it's not really a party issue as much as a, you know, hey, you do it. No, you do mm-hmm. it. No, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. It's an interesting conversation.
Well, and as a pastor, please remember to turn your clocks back on Saturday so you're in worship on time on Sunday.
All right. I can't think of I showed up at a wedding late once and came in, and it was one of those things where it gets quiet and everybody turns and looks mm-hmm. at you. I can't imagine what it would be like going to like services on a Sunday morning and being late. I don't know if that's awkward or not, but it feels like, as somebody who's never done it, it feels very awkward to me. Like every noise you make is just the you know, kind of thing.
Here's the tip. You walk in during a hymn when everybody's singing and they can't hear you.
Nice.
But
nice.
The pastor will still see you, because the pastor's yes. the one looking at the back of the church.
True. Very true. Take a break here, and that will take us to the top of the hour, and then we'll come back. A little more conversation about this. Just in time for changing the clocks. Why are we afraid of the dark? That is coming up next here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Beth and James here with you. We hope you're having a great start mm-hmm. to your Friday out there. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yay, it's the weekend.
We change our clocks this weekend, of course, mm-hmm. as we were just talking about. And that means it's going to be a little get darker even earlier now. Ugh. And with that in mind, there's here's a rundown of some facts about being afraid of the dark.
Okay.
It's a common fear. According to a study from June, at least 8% of American adults are afraid of the dark. Mm. And it's even more common among young children.
Oh, yeah.
I really only had one true fear growing up with driving and everything, being on a bunch of different car accidents mm-hmm. at a young age. Mm-hmm. I do remember being a little afraid of the dark when I was young, when we moved to South Chicago.
Right.
And my friend Johnson, one of my best friends of all time, we were walking and we were talking about it or something. Oh, because we didn't want to walk through this. We didn't want to take a shortcut and cut through this alley.
Okay, yep.
And, you know, it's pitch black in this alley.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnson's like, trust me, I'll show you something. We get mm-hmm. there and we get in the middle of the alley and it's brighter. You know, it's always brighter in the darkness.
Yeah.
It looks bad from the outside, but you get in it and oftentimes it's a little bright, at least outside and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, just it was a huge life lesson to me where it goes back to something my dad taught me at a young age. He knew who I was. I was skinny. Mm-hmm. I was angry. and I was probably, you know, I was already in a bunch of fights before he even showed me how to throw a punch, let alone afterwards and where we were moving and stuff. So it's finding something's weakness.
Right.
It is how you see David defeat Goliath. It is all of those things. It's finding a weakness and using it. It's no different than our fears.
Mm-hmm.
Our fears, whatever you're afraid of, has a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Darkness can't be dark all the time. Darkness is often not as dark as once you get inside it. It has a weakness.
And
anything can be defeated.
Most of it is just unknown. And that's the fear that we really have, is we fear what we don't know. And darkness is all about not seeing, so you don't know what's going on.
When I think of darkness, especially since I excuse me, everybody. Since I've gotten older, and you know, I've been swimming more. I've been to lakes and oceans and everything. To me, like the more intimidating darkness is that darkness.
Oh yeah.
The oh, what you can't see through the water and what's under there. Like I'm more. That is a little more. I would say fearsome or unpredictable to me than a dark alley or something like that. We're predisposed to develop a fear of the dark. Oh. We're more likely to be afraid of things that would have been dangerous to our predecessors or to our prehistoric ancestors. Things like heights, spiders, snakes, and the dark. And to piggyback on what you were saying, Beth, things that we're unfamiliar with or we're unsure
exactly.
of.
Exactly, yeah.
It may stem from a fear of the unknown.
Nailed it.
That's awesome. Way to go, Beth. Points to you. Points to Beth today. Things that make us feel uneasy are commonly things that are outside of our control. And when it comes to the dark, we don't know what's there, so it's scary.
Yep.
It can also be a result of life events. Some people may be afraid of the dark due to a negative experience they had at night, something like a robbery or an attack that may have associated with it. You know, there's plenty of fruit to pull from on one as far as childhood traumas go.
Oh, yeah. It lives on throughout your life.
It's interesting, too, how many of those things play into our adulthood. Whether it's things we like or things we're afraid of.
Well, and how many of us, you know, you and I are both in our 40s, and we can tell you stories from when we were kids of things that happened. Because it does. There's something that just internally gets you.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's interesting. Like, we don't get nostalgic about our fears. You know, it's everything. Literally, almost anything else under the sun, we can get nostalgic about that happened when we were young. But we don't so much with those kind of things. And there's obvious, you know, reasons for that. But it is kind of interesting to me that, we love going back and listening to an old song or watching an old movie or something like that. Going back to an old fear and to conquer it is something we don't often do or think of.
No.
To be honest, the only reason I did is because it involved driving, and driving is very important in life. You should be able to drive. A lot of people can get away with not driving.
Right.
And there's plenty of famous people that do. But it's one of those things that if you, the more rural community you live in with not as much public transportation and those things, plus just the sheer independence of it.
Exactly.
You know, things that I would have never known until I actually got my license and started getting behind the wheel more and everything. And that was, you know, in my late 20s, early 30s. I got my license at 29, 30, something like that. So it took a while for that to happen. Once I did, there were so many other things that became clearer to me about being a driver.
Well, and it's one of those things, it's the hardest thing to let go as we get older.
Yeah.
You know, when we get to an age where it's really unsafe for us to do it, that's the hardest thing to let go because of the connection with independence. But it's something that we've known, again. And then not having it, we're back to an unknown. Because for majority of our life, we've had that license.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, you know, I mean, I guess the only thing I am bothered by this is the idea of people still living with a fear or a phobia that could be conquered. I'm not saying that they all can, but everybody deserves to fight for that. You deserve to enjoy your life.
So the cliche, knowledge is power.
Yes.
Is very true, because the more we understand about what we're fearing, the less we fear it. Naming it takes away the fear.
It's really like that with so many things in life, too. Like, that's pretty interesting. I got a good story of the day here I wanted to touch on really quick. Just kind of throw these, especially on Fridays, throw a bunch of these in as much as we can. We don't have to wait until 9 o'clock to hear some good stuff. A dog rescued after 18 hours trapped in a rabbit hole.
Oh,
this is
he went down the rabbit hole.
Right? See, you saw exactly where I was going with this, Beth. UPI.com, shout out to Ben Hooper for the reporting. Firefighters in England came to the rescue of a dog who was trapped in a rabbit hole for over 18 hours.
Wow.
The Poole Fire Station said firefighters were summoned to Wareham Forest on Wednesday to rescue a small dog named Penny, who had been trapped in a rabbit hole for 18 hours.
So Penny wasn't wise.
No. And I can relate to Penny. I go down tons of rabbit holes. I completely agree.
Did he find what he was looking for?
You know, I don't know, but I guarantee you, he came out of it late.
Oh,
he came out of it very late. I'm very late. That's a good story.
It is.
The post said Penny was not injured and was reunited with her owner. The firefighters were certainly commended and have had a nice moment with the dog as well.
Good.
A really cool interaction. Yay. There, too. You're looking for a palate cleanser, looking for some good news. That's a good story to look up.
And you've got a good story going on here, too, don't you?
Yeah, it's the New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway. What you can win is two tickets to the January 1st game versus Green Bay, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Listeners will register at Dropbox locations for their chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from that business and become qualifiers for the Green Bay giveaway. Qualifiers will be placed in a hat and until one final winner will be selected. Registration will close on November 28th, and the winner will be announced on November 30th. So we're going to give you plenty of time.
Yeah.
You got almost a month, pretty much, to plan this out.
Yeah, and you can easily make it to these locations to be able to do that.
Right at our friends over at Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome's, La Taqueria in Rapids, Jennings in Rapids, Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. Go to all these places.
Yeah.
While you're there, do us a favor. You happen to run into any of the people working there or anything, say thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate them hosting these boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And buy local, support local.
Absolutely.
Shop at any of these places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Piggly Wiggly. Get some great food from La Taqueria. Jennings, Hoozles both have great
mm-hmm.
food as well. And, you know, I hear they serve good drinks as well.
Yeah.
I've had drinks at both those places many times. Yes, they do, and they're very good at it.
I want to know, is it a cheesehead hat that you're going to be pulling it out of?
Oh, good. Oh, we almost have to, don't we, Beth?
We do.
Wow, you're right. That's a good call
there
by you.
There you go.
That's a good call.
If it's going to be a hat, might as well be a cheesehead.
Might as well. Get in on this, everybody. New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway going on right now. Get to any of those locations. Get your name in there one time and have some fun with this. And be listening November 30th when we announce a winner. We're going to come back with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center to kick things off. And we'll get into Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club, Culver's Star of the Day, and plenty more coming up on Mornings at WFHR.